going to look at the character of God, which is a little different than what we talked about last week. Actually, I shouldn't say it's different, it just builds on it. The character of God is extremely important because knowing God's character and knowing someone's character is to the degree that you'll put your trust in that person that you know. I hope that all of you will be a little bit where I am. The more I look at this, the more I'm ready to talk about this topic, the more embarrassed I am. I feel like if you've walked with God for 35 years as a Christian and you've had quiet times every day, it seems like, and you've been teaching this stuff, that you ought to know Him better than I do. I'm embarrassed when I look at how long Paul walked on this planet. Paul was way, way, way younger in the Lord than I was. Isn't that embarrassing? Okay. Now, some of you are older in the Lord than I am. Isn't that embarrassing? And some of you are just really babies. You get the best chance, okay? Because you can say, well, I don't know Him yet. That's great. But we want to get to know His character. Today, we're going to spend the entire time talking about God's character. What is true about His character, and how can we look at some of His attributes? Don't let that word scare you yet. We're going to talk about what that means. And then what can you and I do that draws us closer to knowing God and His character? If you do know Him and His character, I promise you, you will put your trust in Him. And what did we learn last week? If you put your trust in Him, it will begin to set you free in the areas that you're bound in your life, and including your own identity and your own behavior. There is no way that when I get to know a certain aspect of God and a little bit more about who He is, that when I put my trust in Him, that it is definitely related to my image of myself and my security of who I am, which frees me to be able to behave in an entirely different manner. Again, using the illustration that we used the one time on giving, if I really have a hard time trusting my Father as a giver, as a provider that does really want to take care of me financially, and you look at my giving and sometimes my stinginess of giving and at least not hilarious giving, then I may end up doing it, but I may go back and say, oh gosh, and you know, by myself, I'm kind of really concerned about that. Now I'm really, really bugged because, to be honest with you, I had confessed to you, I really do think that I do much better when I'm holding the funds rather than God. If God's given me and says, here, Bill, I want to supply you with at least every single week, it's going to trickle down to you, $3,000 a week. It's just going to keep trickling in for the rest of your life. You know, I'd be pretty happy. As a matter of fact, I'd feel pretty confident about that. I'd say, oh, that's wonderful, Lord. I could even give a whole bunch, knowing that it was going to keep trickling in. Okay, but as it stopped trickling, then I start to act a little bit different. But if I know God and I believe who He says He is and I know something about His character, then that doesn't even bother me. I can continue with that mindset. And I know that I'm not alone here. I do too much counseling to think that I'm alone here. I don't find very many people that really believe God is who He says He is. And that's usually the reason that we have struggles. And so when we talk about His character, it is something that we want to build a passion for. We want to develop a passion and a love for this. I want you guys, as well as myself, I want you to learn to love this God who is faithful and is somebody that can be loved. And we're going to look at His character. Everything else in life emanates from the knowledge of God. Charles Spurgeon says, I believe that the proper study of God's elect is God. The proper study of a Christian is the Godhead. And the highest science, the loftiest speculation, the mightiest philosophy which can ever engage the attention of a child of God is the name, the nature, the person, the work, the doings, and the existence of the great God whom he calls his Father. I like what Tozer said. He said, it is better to apprehend one truth of God's being, a full truth, a live truth, and apprehend it all the way to its core and live in the reality of that discovery than to know 10,000 facts about God and not live in them. Now let's look at that. Let's stop and take a picture of what that really means. I'll bet you, you know, it's not really wise to play. They used to call this holy hopscotch, where you just kind of open the Bible and just kind of pointed to something, okay? But just think if we did that, which I just did, okay? And if we lived this one truth that I pointed to on here and knew it completely all the way to its end, forgot about all these other things and just lived this fully out. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Just think if you knew that to its fullest effect, that the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. If I knew that, where would I bathe myself all the time? I bathe myself in the Spirit of the Lord. I would want liberty. If I lived that out to its fullest extent, it would absolutely revolutionize my life. So this ought to help you with some of the things. We've given an awful lot of information in however many weeks we've been here. Matter of fact, enough that's confusing, okay, at times. Okay? But I encourage you that as you go through this class, that you find a couple nuggets that jump out at you and begin to study those and grasp those. And they may be different ones for different people in here, because all of us come from a different quarry that we've been dug. Some of us, when we talked about the absent father syndrome, some of us had fathers that were extremely loving dads. And we don't question God's love very much. Some of us may have had dads that were abusive, and we have a hard time trusting His protection. Sometimes you may not, your God might have been absent. Your dad might have been absent. So to know Him as Shema, the God who is there all the time, that's hard for you. We were doing this class, and Marcy was doing this class on the absent father. And my two sons are taking the class on Wednesday night. And we were talking to them. We were wondering what they were going to get out of this absent father. And my wife and I laughed and said, we don't have this deal with absent father. We have the ever-too-present father, who is always too involved or more involved than he ought to be. And it's like he's driving them nuts being so involved in their life. They're not going to have a whole problem with God, you know, being around. They're going to have God's always telling them what to do, okay? And so their picture is going to be a little different. So they're going to have to learn a little something different. So while we go through this class, and while you go through some things, if something jumps out at you, one lesson, grab that lesson and mark it down and spend time in it. And yeah, come to the other classes, but go back and study that. How many of you found yourself, even during a sermon on Sunday, now, and I don't apologize for this, that you're hearing the pastor and he's teaching and you're in the middle of a sermon and all of a sudden he says something and it gets you into the Word, and you're into the Word, and you're spending the rest of the time in the Word, and then you're, oh, I didn't even listen to the sermon. So what? What we're wanting to do is find Him, not the pastor. So if you get caught in an area here and you say, I love this area. This was the favorite. At the end of our classes, we'll ask for your evaluations, and we'll have people say, I love this class. Not everybody says the same class. So stay in it, bathe in it, hunger after it. Let God begin to open it. You might, let's say that your area is going to come with God's forgiveness, and we talk about anger and forgiveness and the three cycles of forgiveness. That might be what sets some of you free. Say, oh, that was incredible. To let you know, that set me free. Back in 1977, when I understood that forgiveness area, and actually there was a couple bits of information that freed me. It was amazing what that did in my life. So it's better to apprehend this one of God's truth, a full truth, a live truth, and apprehend it all the way to its core and live in it. And that's what we ask you to do. Rather than to sit here and walk away saying, guess what, I can tell you all the classes, all the 15 classes, I can tell you the verses of the classes, and not really live in any of them. Believe me, we've all been there before too. Because information, whether you want to admit it or not, it puffs up. It makes you feel good about some things. I mean, there's so many times when you're sitting out there and somebody's talking about, where's that verse? The pastor says, no, where's that verse? And you know where it is. You just want him to call on you. I know where that verse is. Okay. Or if you don't say it out, you know, you say it real quietly so that at least the people next to you knew where the verse was. Okay. Jeremiah 9:23 And 24 says, this is what the Lord says, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, or the strong man in his might, or the rich man in his riches, but let him who boasts boast about this, that he understands and he knows me. I mean, what an incredible verse. That I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, righteousness on earth, for in these I delight, declares the Lord. What does he delight in? That you and I know him. That you and I know him. Not necessarily that we can answer all the questions that we've been talking about, but that we know him. I do encourage you with this, though. If you get to know him and you just begin to find out who this God is and find out who he really is, not who our image of him used to be, your questions will pretty much start to become answered because he answers the questions. Your questions will be answered more and more by knowing his character and who he is. Have you ever been around a person that tells you something and you know this person and you just really trust this person and all of a sudden something happens that makes them think that they're really, something's really out here. They acted really outside their character. And you just, it's hard to believe, but you find out later on that they never really did. But the evidence seems so obvious. But as you find the character and said, I'm staying with the character, I know this person's character and I know what they're like, and you walk through, you'll find out that what they really were accused of was really probably not true. That their character is solid. We're going to try to get a picture of who God is. And what we, next 2 weeks from now, an overview, we're going to use a diagram that's called, it's a diagram that's got a picture of a brick building or a brick block that's to imitate God. And then your circumstances is like this funny dough over here. And your evaluation of the circumstances, okay, begins to change on the circumstances. But most of us do this. We switch those. We got this picture of God over here, and we say, this is what God's like. And then all of a sudden, something horrible happens, so we shape God. We reshape, well, he's not like that. He must not be forgiving. He must kind of be conditional. He must not, whoop, and our circumstances start shaping God. So the solid foundation is our experience rather than God. What we want to do is try to reverse that so that God, who is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, who never changes and his character is solid and you can take it to the bank, that's who he is. Therefore, all the things I will interpret will be interpreted through who he is. That's why it's good to know his character. He's an incredible God. It's a good thing that none of us know too much about him because I think we'd be right with Enoch, we would be taken up immediately. Because God is just amazing. And we would just fall on our faces. Like Peter, when Peter was fishing. Remember when he was fishing and he'd been fishing all day. And Jesus says, just put your net on this side. He goes, I fished this all day long. Just put your net on this side. He puts it over there. They pull in more fish than he ever could imagine. Remember he fell down on his face and he said, depart from me, for I am a wicked man. He knew he was the Son of God. And his character was true and his character was faithful. And so knowing the character of God is very, very important. Romans 1:21-23 says, for even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations and their foolish hearts were darkened, professing to be wise. Now just not think about the Romans, think about yourself. Professing to be wise, they become fools. What did they do? They exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of a corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. You see, they exchanged the truth about God for a lie about God. And if you look what happened at the rest of Romans, what happened to these people is a demonstration of what happens when you and I believe something that's not accurate about God. I had a picture one time where I kind of drew a picture up here of God, and he's wrapped up like a mummy. And he's so wrapped up so tight with so many layers because none of us really know him as he is. And all we're wanting to do is begin to unwrap some of this stuff and unwrap him and get just a look at just the toe and begin to start to unwrap God. And what I'm hoping to do tonight is to help you and I hunger to know him as he is. And I'm going to give you some examples of how you can do that tonight. I'm going to give you some examples of what I think will help with that. God revealed himself to us through his names. Numerous verses in the Bible says they that know his name will put their trust in him. If you know his name. We had a question asked in here. Matter of fact, I had a question asked earlier today that said, I am just really getting into God being my father. And I'm, you know, Abba Daddy, it's really neat. But I also look over here and it says that Jesus is my husband. So, which is right, father or husband? What did he say his name was? I am. I am who I am. You know what that really, he's starting to say to you and I? What is your need today? I am. I, Daddy, I really am hurting financially. I am Jehovah Jireh. Daddy, I'm lonely. I feel totally empty. I am your husband. I'm feeling really unprotected. I am your Abba. He is whatever it is that you're in need of at that time. I am who I am. Tell him I am sent you. Can you think of anything in your life right now that I am? And then fill in I am whatever your problem is and the solution. The opposite of that, I am, he is. So he's not a jealous guy. He says, wait a minute, I said I was your father. Some of you need a father tonight. Guess what he said his name is? I am your father. Some of you are saying, I'm just lonely. I'm lonely. I need a husband. I am your husband. Some of you are just sick and need somebody to comfort you. I am Jehovah Rophi. I am your healer. I am your doctor. I am your comforter. So we're going to look as he reveals his names, and we're going to go through these. They're written down there, and rather than have us take the time to look at all the scriptures here, because there's about 40 scriptures here, I'm just going to give you a picture of what he did and how God revealed himself. You reveal your character to people as you get to know them. God revealed himself in his names. And there's numerous times you'll call out his name and you'll begin to call out the name of some of his character that you need. You may not need the same part that I need today. But he starts out with the word Elohim. This was a frightening word to say. They never spoke this word out loud. It was something that was very, very precious and very holy and very feared. And there was trembling. So they, when they wrote it, they never even wrote. They would write, leave the vowels out of it. And they just write the E-L-H-M. Because they didn't even want to say, you know, write the whole word. It was a majestic God. It was a frightening God. His name is I am, you are not. I mean, this is basically what he was saying is I am, you aren't. I am God. Don't ever put yourself at the level that I am. And I am mighty God, and you ought to fear me, is kind of what it was. Now, we learn later on, that was him revealing part of that. But then he begins to reveal a name called Jehovah. Actually, Jehovah. And he was the Lord, the God. But this name was starting to move towards a little bit more of a personal God. Down to Adonai, which I am your master, I am your Lord. For those of you that don't know where that word first appeared, in the scriptures you'll look in there, and Adonai was in Deuteronomy 10:17, Joshua 3:11. Here's the illustration of where we get this word Adonai. And for those of you that have all your life been against piercing ears, don't ever let your kids know this verse like I did, because then they brought it back to me whenever they wanted their ears pierced. And what they used to do is, if I was a slave and I was going to be your slave, Mary, and I worked for you, then I worked for you for the 7-year period. And after 7 years, then we were given freedom that I no longer had to be your slave. I was given freedom for working for you faithfully for 7 years. But if I liked her to work for her and I liked her as my master, then I would willfully go to the door of her chambers and I'd put my ear there. She would take a nail and pierce it through my ear to the door of her chambers, and there would be a pierced, then they'd put a piercing in here, and that piercing meant, whenever you saw me with a pierced ear, that meant that I willfully now was your slave. I no longer had to be. I chose to be her slave. It was a surrendering of Adonai, meaning, you are master, I am not. You are my God, I am not. I will serve you for the rest of my life because you are faithful and you've been good. So there's a getting a more personal name, Adonai. Then it goes down to El Shaddai. Almighty, the many-breasted one, the merciful one, the gentle one. There is signs of gentleness, the many-breasted ones, of caring. And all the way down to all the names as we go down here, El Elyon, El Olnam, with the everlasting God, Roe, the God who sees, Jehovah Jireh is the more personal God. I will provide for you. I will take care of you. Tsidkenu, our righteousness. Jehovah Mekadesh, which is the Holy One, sanctified, set apart from every other. All the way down he reveals himself from Rohi, my shepherd, Rophe, the Lord that heals. Okay. And Shalom, God of peace. Struggling with anxiety? I am peace. When I'm in the middle of some anxious anxiety, I want I am to be peaceful. I want him to be who he is in peace. And then he comes down to Shema, the Lord is present. And then what's the last revealed personal name? I'm your daddy. Can't get any more personal than that. Watch people. Have you ever been around people that you just thought were pretty good jerks? And then they had kids. And you saw them change. And some of them don't change. They remain jerks, okay? But some of them, you see a character in them and they change and they become so precious and they become so caring and they become so gentle. And you watch that and think that that's just even just a glimpse of what it's like. You remember in the scriptures where it says, oh, if I can remember this, you're going to have a weak translation here, but it says, will a nursing mom forget the child of her womb? Yes, maybe even these, but I will never forget you, for I've engraved you on the palm of my hand. What he's saying is in a natural sense, now it does say in the last days we will even abandon the natural sense of parenting, but it does say there's not hardly any woman that could sit there and have a baby that comes from herself and then just sit there and watch it die. It's just very uncommon. But he even says that even that might happen, which it has. And I've had to experience people that have just watched their children die. And some of you have also done that. But he says, but you know what? I'll never abandon you. I'll never leave you, for I've carved you on the palm of my hand. He's coming down to starting to show a caring dad, a caring mom of what it's like to care for their kids. As we get to know this God and his character in that sense, we'll begin to put our trust in him. Those that know his name, what will you do? Put your trust in him. Those that know his name, you can automatically count on putting your trust in him. If you don't put your trust in him, what's your conclusion? You don't know his name. Don't be ashamed of it, but at least admit to yourself, I don't know his name. I don't know who he is. Now, God reveals himself through general revelation and specific revelation. Psalm 19 is a great verse, chapter that talks about general and specific. The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. Now, some of you are much, much better at this than others. And that is, some of you can just be still and look at God's just in grand, majestic hand by looking at what he does out here in the skies and in the heavens. And you look at those things, and it's just fascinating. And when you do it, it just makes you say, God is awesome. I mean, I confess, I'm not real good at that sometimes because I get going too fast. But on this trip to North Carolina, all the trees, I mean, the colors of the leaves on these trees were incredible. And we were walking along with my son and his wife and my wife, and we were walking along, and I just kept stopping and picking up these leaves because they were colored so weird. Just, they'd be red with little brown things in them. And I was fascinated by it. And they started to say, are you going to pick up every leaf? I mean, it was just everywhere. Now, I don't know. I don't always do that. I usually just zoom by them. But sometimes does it capture when you look at the beauty of stuff, or take a little flower and open it up and look inside the paintings inside them? And there's fascinations. And you begin to know somewhat of God's character by general revelation. You can know the expanse of this whole universe by looking how big he is. I don't know the history of this. And some of you may be able to help me, but just how fast is the planet Earth spinning right now? Anybody know? Somebody help me out here. I know that it's spinning thousands of miles an hour. Okay? It's spinning in an orbit that if it got off by inches, this whole place would go crazy. My brother-in-law, who this degree doesn't really help out a lot, as you can tell, now he's into computers and he's got a job in computers, but he got a degree in honors physics, nuclear, in honors physics from Yale and got his doctorate there. He then was invited over to Germany, and there was only three people in the world invited over there that got a degree in this, and they studied nuclear things and studied atoms and studied all the, you know, the splitting of different things. And all these nuclear scientists and doctorates were studying these things, and they were coming up with these fascinating things, but not one could tell you why they didn't fly apart. He said, there is not a force you can see or measure or see that, why do they just stay like this? Why do they not fall apart? Well, we know in Colossians that Jesus says he holds everything together by the power of his word. Every atom is held by the power of his word. If these people look at that and they just get fascinated and they find that God is incredible, he's ingenious. I've never heard of hardly any astronauts that don't believe that have not been born anew. They look at the expanse, and that's just a little bit. So some people can find out a lot about God in creation, that he is powerful, he is amazing, that he is just awesome. And you can find out that, oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all of the earth, who has displayed your splendor above the heavens. And when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. We come to a place where we say, I know something about God's character by just looking at general revelation. I can look at this, we could knock this wall down and look at the skies, and it would tell us something about his character. Okay, I would not be too frightened when we come down to the final war of who's going to win. Okay, he speaks the word. Something of his character when he speaks the word. When he was going the day that Peter was going to slice off the ears, And all these warriors are coming to take him away, and he just says a word to them. Leave them alone. You didn't come for them. You came for me. And all of these warriors, these Roman soldiers, are flat on their back just by his spoken word. I'm not too worried about the last battle. Okay? It is going to come down that when he comes down next time on his white horse, and he comes down riding, and on the side of his thigh is going to be written some unbelievable things, and he's going to be Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and he will reign. I mean, I look at the splendor of this stuff, and I think, he is awesome. I can get a picture of his character, so I can believe, I can trust him for that last battle. And I'm not saying, oh, that last battle, I'm going to be scared to death. Okay, we win this battle. I may not like the scars that I get in the middle of it, but we win the battle. Then specific revelation. God, it says, after he spoke long ago in the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days he's spoken to us through his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things. And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature and upholds all things by the word of his power. His word is going to hold true. You can count on this. Every single thing that you know have written and everything is going to all fall apart except for his word is going to stand. It will hold true. Every letter he's written will come true. Sometimes you wonder, oh, boy, they're going to find, you know, these archaeologists, they dig, and you're thinking, do you ever worry, oh, what if they dig up something that proves the Bible wrong? Do you know that every single time a shovel goes into the ground, it proves the Bible more right? I hope they dig like crazy.
Some have found sea fossils on top of the mountains, and they're wondering how that happened.
Amazing things. Amazing things. So I'm not worried about what's going to happen. I am not worried about one thing that people are going to find. You know what else? I'm not worried about us flying off the axis out here. I'm not worried about a flood destroying this earth. I'm not worried about this atomic war going to end us. Not one bit, because it says it will not end this way. Okay, but I only got to know that by knowing his word, by knowing his character. So as you know the word of God, the word means something, and it means a lot. When God speaks, his word means an awful lot. You know that when you know people and you think of people that you like and you don't like and who you like to be around and who you trust and who you don't trust, isn't a lot of it in their word? When you're mad at me and upset at me, it's probably because I didn't seem to hold to my word. People today, which doesn't mean a lot anymore, because we can go ahead and say a word because it doesn't make any difference because we didn't have it written down, so we don't have to hold to it. Because the legal matters, look at what happened in our voting. I mean, I don't even want to go there, okay, with this stuff. But the word doesn't mean anything anymore. We go to everything else. God's word means a lot. What he says you can count on is going to come true. And we learned 3 weeks ago that really what matters is not you and your righteousness and your confession, your all your things. What matters is his commitment to you. That's what matters. The central issue is his commitment to you, not your commitment to him. I'm giving a little bit of away here, but not how you confess or what you confess. It's his commitment to you. Well, so if that's true, I better get to know this character of this God. Let's turn the page here. So what have we talked about so far? Knowing God, finding out God by his general revelation, and finding out God by his specific revelation, which is the written word. Now we're going to look at attribute. Where are we, Sean, with time? Okay. Don't let the word attribute scare you. All it means is what we attribute to God. What is he like? What are we attributing to God? What is he like? And it's very, very important that you know, we talked about this the last time too, is that every single thing that happens in the Scriptures can be attributed to all three, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. A good example, Jesus was talking about that you don't take my life from me. And if I do die, my Father will raise me, okay, up in 3 days. Who did he say will raise him up? His Father. Later in that, and if you destroy this temple, I will raise this up. You didn't take my life from me before I gave it willfully, for I will raise it up. Who will raise it up? Jesus. And then we look at in Romans 1:4, the Holy Spirit who resurrected Jesus from the dead. Now, who did? I thought it was the Father. I thought it was the Son. I thought it was the Holy Spirit. Everything you find out about God, you can find the same thing about Jesus, same thing about the Holy Spirit. And so when we're talking about the attributes of God, we're talking about the attributes of God as a Trinity, as a deity, as the Father, as the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is what we're going to attribute to him. The definition of attribute is something which by reason or by revelation God has declared to be true concerning himself. Remember that. It's something either by reason or by revelation. Now, God can give a lot of you guys in here revelation when you're not reading the Bible. I'd say a lot of my revelation comes when I'm not reading the Bible. But the Bible helps me check to see if the revelation was from God or not. So that I'm not way out over here saying, you know what God said? Okay? And he says this. Now it comes down here, we got people who are saying, well, you know what? God said he is really female. Well, you know, I don't have to go there. First of all, because there is, in the spiritual, it says there is no male nor female. There is no Jew nor Greek. There is no marriage or given in marriage. But it doesn't, I can't go over there because it doesn't say that in here. So I'm not going to go over there and not even get in that argument. But revelation can come, and it's something that God has declared to be true about himself, concerning himself. This is tough to understand here, and I'm real shaky because I don't understand this, and I'm trying to tell you something. These are not pieces or parts of God when we talk about his attributes. We're going to talk about his immutability, his sovereignty, his love, his wisdom, and all the different things that we have called attributes of God. They are not parts. God is not like you and I. We're made up of things. If I come in here today and during the break I go back to do something and I accidentally cut my finger off, I cut a part of me off, my fingers off, because it was a part. Because I come in parts, okay? I'm still going to be okay here and be me, but I will be missing a finger. God does not come in parts. And he does not come, he's not like ingredients. He doesn't have this and this and this and this makeup, and if you take away this from God, then he's left without this. He can't do that. And it's hard to comprehend that. If you ever, here again, I'll have my staff drive me, or I'll drive him nuts by having to run off more tapes, but Did anybody get a chance to listen to the Immutability and the Sovereignty of God tape by Tozer that we had? I think we left 20 of them here. Nobody? One part was blank.
That was my problem, too.
Oh, so we... So what? That was good. Now, have you guys heard any of the tapes we've given you? This would be a good thing for us to know. Sean's not really recording this either. He's just kind of going through the actions here. Well, here, let me... Okay. Or is the sovereign part, is that for by Tozer?
Hendricks.
That's by Hendricks. Okay, that's by Hendricks. Tozer's tapes, he wrote a book called In Pursuit of the Holy. And he actually wrote a lot of books that are like that. But these tapes were given when he was, before he wrote the book, and they're just about the attributes of God. I love them. I just think they're awesome. Because here's an old, old man that has passed away years ago, but he's one of our founding fathers that tells us, and all he's talking about is God. And you can listen to this, and your God grows and grows and grows. And every time God grows, you get smaller and smaller and smaller. He does some fascinating things. Now, he's got an incredible mind, way beyond where I'm going. He loses me a lot. Okay? But sometime, if you're just really bored and you're sitting around and you don't have any other tapes to listen to, I would say these are some neat tapes to have us get for you and listen to some of these, especially some of the attributes. They're fascinating. Remember, God is not made. He is the uncreated I am that I am. God is what he is, and he's not in parts. And it's just something we know to be true about God. Now, we're going to talk about some, but there's an unlimited number of attributes. Attribute, remember, is just something that is declared to be true concerning God. One of the best ways for you and I to see this is somebody that you really like, you love being around, you like these people, you'd trust things and trust your possessions with them, is because you're getting to know that person's character and their attributes, and because they're so trustworthy, you're drawn to them, and you want to get to know them more and more. Okay. Dating relationships are like that. When you're in dating and you're drawing close to somebody, what makes you decide that you want to pursue it more is because you like what you see. When you don't like what you see, you back out of it, okay? Or you draw, kind of put up a wall here. And as you get to know God, this is what we want you to begin to move towards, is that, remember last time we said all the things of grace and forgiveness and identity and obedience springing forth and abandoning of living under the law. All of these things are just stepping stones to get you here. And the only reason we share those before is because I think they block you from getting here. Is to find out who this God is. He's incredible. And his character is incredible.